Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in again today. Before we get started, of course, I ask you to share the show. It's the best way you can help us out. If you like what we do, tell a friend about the Coffee, Health, and Science podcast. Hit subscribe so you catch every episode and leave us a good review, please. It helps us out. Today, we have back again, Dr. Coffee on the line. What's up, Dr. Coffee?
Hey, it's another day above ground living the dream.
I am below ground in my basement, but I'm still living the dream. And we are here to talk today about vitamin D. Is that right, Dr. Coffee? This is something that comes up a lot. Comes up on this show, comes up in popular culture. We want to do a whole show on vitamin D.
I love talking about vitamin D. It's so important. And the leadoff for it was something that came over the newswire recently. And I felt, you know, we really need to discuss this newswire because I'm not so sure people understand what it is. So
you want to start there?
Yeah, I think we should.
So there is an article based on a recent, what was this, a health study, a published research paper on the link between caffeine consumption and vitamin D levels.
Correct.
So the headline to all these news articles are the more caffeine you consume, the more likely you are to be deficient in vitamin D. I'm going to need your take on this one. What you think of this study, and what you think of the whole situation?
Okay, so it was an interesting news article because they cited a number of studies. One of them was done in September of 2021, so just a couple months ago. And it was reported on PubMed from the International Journal of Vitamin Nutrition Response. I think that's the name of the journal. Pretty sure. And what they looked at was low vitamin D levels and what effect it had on people and where could low vitamin D levels come from. Mm-hmm. And their crude model adjusted for age, sex, race, body mass index, smoking, protein and fat intake. I think that was all the things that they adjusted for. Mm-hmm. And what they came up with is that people that had high levels of caffeine intake had a lower vitamin D level.
Right.
So here was my problem with just reading that alone. And this is why you and I are going to do a deeper dive on vitamin D, because it's that important to do. So on reading that alone, they don't really define what high levels of caffeine was.
Mm.
They talked about a couple of suggested caffeine levels, but when we put it into coffee, which is probably one of the major, if not the major, areas we get our caffeine source from, unless you're a Red Bull fanatic, then we're really talking about most people who drink between 4 and 5 cups a day of caffeine is still considered a healthy level.
Right.
So it's misleading to me when you talk about a study that shows vitamin D deficiency associated with high caffeine intake. And what are you really talking about, 7-8 cups? Or are you saying that people that do have 4 or 5 cups of coffee, that is affecting the vitamin D level? And that's what really got me thinking about this whole thing. So we know that too much caffeine may be bad for bone health, because it can deplete calcium.
Mm-hmm.
We also now know that overdoing caffeine may affect vitamin D levels, which is crucial for bone health and metabolism. So you need vitamin D in order to process calcium properly,
mm-hmm,
and help drive calcium from the blood into the bone. Calcium is really important to be stable in the blood supply. And so if you start to have a calcium deficiency, your body will pull it from the bone into the blood to stabilize calcium supply in the blood, because low calcium then causes irregular heartbeat and muscle cramping. And the last thing you want to happen is for your heart muscle to cramp, because then you die.
Right.
So
we want that.
So the body, yeah, of course, that's one hell of a wake up call. I woke up dead. That'll teach me.
Too little calcium, man.
So anyway, the vitamin D receptors in the body are things that power your osteoblast cells. So the osteoblasts are these large cells responsible for creating a sheet of minerals that actually cover the surface of the bone and then get absorbed into the bone. So without the D receptors in the osteoblasts and the vitamin D present to sit on the receptors to cause this whole thing to happen, then the whole thing goes to hell in the handbasket. The whole mechanism stops. Mm-hmm. So we have to have enough vitamin D to do that. And most people always thought, okay, vitamin D deficiency leads to rickets. So rickets is the disease where we have this whole deficiency system going on. You with me so far?
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you.
Okay. So again, this one study showed caffeine causes this vitamin D deficiency. In the study, they quoted Erica Schwartz, an MD, who said 400 milligrams of caffeine per day, which is 4 to 5 cups, or about 2 energy drinks, is considered safe for most adults. But we have to keep in mind that caffeine tolerance really changes individually.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can tolerate it. You and I have talked about it before, that liver function, which I call caffeine clearance, is really important. So people that have sluggish livers that don't clear caffeine properly, people that have adrenal insufficiency, where the adrenal glands aren't working properly, all these people have problems with caffeine tolerance. And there are people that need L-taurine, an amino acid, so that they can properly process caffeine.
L-theanine or L-taurine?
I mean L-theanine. Sorry about that.
Boom.
Shame on me. It's a dyslexic T.
You're thinking about Monster Energy drink still.
Yeah. I'm thinking about heart muscle. Taurine is really important for heart muscle.
Oh, interesting. I just remember that's one of the ingredients in an energy drink. I don't know if you knew that, Dr. Coffee. That's one of the things.
I did. They have it energy drinks.
Is that so you don't die?
It's just important for heart muscle. We'll go into taurine another time. I can do a whole lecture on taurine too.
Sorry, I get distracted easily.
So that leads us to really trying to understand what's the story with vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
So vitamin D is both a vitamin and a prohormone. Did you know that?
I don't know if I knew that it was a hormone. Maybe I'd heard that once before, but I'll pretend like I'm very surprised. Yeah, that is interesting. It's both a vitamin and a hormone.
Correct. And it's used throughout the body. It is actually one of the top, I think, 10 micronutrients that we cannot survive without.
Wow.
And usually we would get it from sun exposure.
Right. Right.
But we're so adverse to sun exposure that we don't go out and we don't get our 10,000 to 20,000 IUs of vitamin D from sunlight.
Right. And this is something I've heard, you know, having too much clothing, even when you are outside, people's jobs driving them inside. Also, the sterilization of our microbiome. I'm told that our skin microbiome is what's able to convert that sunlight to vitamin D. So if we're bathing in Purell, that could also be contributing to some of the deficiencies. I've heard it's a myriad of things.
Well, it's not just Purell. I know my wife puts on a moisturizer every morning that has an SPF, you know, 5 billion or whatever it
right.
is.
Good point. Good point.
You know, so she uses something to protect your skin against the sun. And we just don't get any sunlight. And then we sit indoors and we don't take in enough vitamin D. The current RDA, the recommended dietary allowance, is something I've been against for a long time. It's 600 IUs.
Is that too low, in your opinion?
It's too low.
Oh, right.
It's too low. It should be 1,000 IUs.
Wow. Wow.
So that means the minimum recommended dietary allowance. And when I talk to people about getting sun exposure and then supplementing, I balance the sun exposure with the supplementation. Realize vitamin D is put in lots of stuff. So your milk has vitamin D and your orange juice has vitamin D. There's a whole bunch of foods that have vitamin D in it. Eggs have 82 eggs have 82 IUs of vitamin D. It's mostly concentrated in the yolk. So guess what most people try and avoid?
Yeah, well, that was that horrible anti-fat movement of the 80s and 90s. It just freaking ruined our health. You'd give me the egg whites so I can starve all day and not have proper brain function and not feel full and then crack later and eat sugar. Yep. Like that's literally what we set ourselves up for. And you're right. I don't know, though. You talk about supplementation for fortification, actually. I was told by, you know, Dr. Sanjeev came on the show and said when you're getting vitamin D supplements, that D3 is very important, to get the right kind. Is that what they're using in the fortified milks? Something tells me that you're better off eating a can of sardines or whatever than drinking or eating a fortified cereal or a fortified milk. But please push back if I'm wrong about that.
Yeah, no, a tin of sardines has 178 IUs of vitamin D in it. And it also has omega fatty acids. So,
but sardines, it's like natural is what I'm saying. I don't know. What type of supplements are they using for the fortifications? And are they of a high quality, I wonder? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. So, you know, not all dairy products are fortified.
That's true.
The type of fortification that they use tends to be used more as a chemical in the body than it is as pro-hormone. So I'm not really in favor of trying to get your fortification from cereal and milk.
Right.
I'm just not sure that that's
the same.
Really the best way. Vitamin D3 is the D that's most often taken in supplementation. Uh-huh. It's the one that people should consider taking, but that does not mean that vitamin D2 and sunlight aren't also important. So uh-huh. We should be getting vitamin D from different sources.
Right, sure.
You know, vitamin D is used in cognition, your immune health. There's a lot of studies talking about COVID and vitamin D intake.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Bone health, which we just talked about. Your total well-being is important for vitamin D. And then on the other side, people that are deficient have an increased risk of cancer, heart disease, diabetes. And we know multiple sclerosis and vitamin D go hand in hand in studies. So Vitamin D is really important. It's also really important for making sure you have proper testosterone levels, especially if you're a male.
That hormonal connection.
Yeah, so we need to get it both in the UV light and in supplementation. So balance that out, figuring out how much exposure you do get to the sun, and then take in between 3,000 and 5,000 IUs a day from supplementation if you're indoors all the time.
Right. And there's, you really don't have to worry about, this is something that virtually all Americans are deficient in and very low in. Like, you don't have to worry about too much vitamin D at this point, right? Like, if you feel that you're low on vitamin D, or you go get a functional medicine test, they're going to put you on a really high dose to get you back up to that level, right? You're not worried about giving someone too much vitamin D. This man ate too many sardines.
I'm not. So some people are.
Ah.
But I don't think the science really supports them. I'd rather be erring on the high end than the low end.
Right.
Vitamin D3, which is cholecalciferol, is the one we recommend for supplementation over D2, which is ergocalciferol. Vitamin D3 is just used more effectively by the body. Sunlight is used very effectively, but sunlight isn't used effectively if you're wearing sunscreens or you're got your eyes covered and your head covered.
Right.
If you're dark skinned, you're going to absorb less UV rays because your body has a natural melanocytes that darken the skin.
And therefore require more time in the sun, right?
More time in the sun or require oral supplementation.
Man, that's wild. See, I burn up like a crisp. You don't want to see me after too long in the sun. I turn into, I'm all red. I'm like Kirby.
Well, yeah, but there's a problem with what you just said. So what about if 15 minutes per day you got out into the sun?
I was just making a joke about being Kirby. But yeah, you're right.
I know, but that's the problem, is that most people say I burn up in the sun, but they're talking about they've been indoors for 12 years, and then they go to the beach and laying on the beach in Cancun and wonder why they wind up in the hospital with sunburn.
They take a nap, and 2.5 hours later, baking in the sun, they're surprised when they're...
Yeah. So I'd like to talk about some health concerns I have with vitamin D deficiency. And I'm going to start with people old and moldy like me.
Okay.
And so the risk of falling as an elderly person. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that every elderly person's kids worry that the demise of their parents is going to come from their parent takes a fall, breaks a hip,
yes,
needs hip replacement surgery, gets pneumonia, and dies.
Right, right.
So the rate of bone fractures increases as the vitamin D levels decrease. Did I do that right? Yes, I did that right. So higher vitamin D levels decrease the risk of bone fracture.
Just from the bone health itself is what you're saying.
Exactly. So weak bones fracture easier. And there is also something with the whole mechanism of vitamin D and falling, which we'll talk about at another time. But you want to minimize the risk of falling and you want to strengthen bones. And the way you do that is by taking at least 1,000 IUs of vitamin D3 per day.
Wow.
And getting out in the sun.
Wow. Yeah, that does make sense. I'm excited to do that other exploration. Because like you said, with cognition and hormones, I wondered if it was about the fall itself or the impact. But please continue.
So the next thing with vitamin D is that we have this we have this gland in our body that sits next to the thyroid gland, which is why they named it the parathyroid gland. And the parathyroid produces parathyroid hormone or parathormone. And that is the health of the parathyroid is very important for how we use vitamin D and calcium.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure that we have good, healthy parathyroid hormones. And so that's also important with vitamin D supplementation.
Okay.
The next thing we want to talk about is colorectal cancer, which is on the rise.
Mm.
And in fact, they've lowered the age of which a person should get their first colonoscopy. I think they lowered it to 40.
You keep rolling that closer and closer to my age, Dr. Goffey.
Yes. Yes. Vacation time. They're going to be taking the trip up a U.S. So we know that there's an association with vitamin D, low levels, and colorectal cancer.
Wow.
So the higher your vitamin D levels, the more you have HALVE, the risk of getting colon cancer.
Wow. That is fascinating.
Very important. We're going to wrap this up soon. I do want to mention, as we said, that there is a number of studies that show patients that have higher vitamin D levels are less sensitive to dying from COVID.
Right.
So the studies haven't shown that you take vitamin D, you don't get COVID, but people have a better COVID response with higher vitamin D levels.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. And I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't shock you either. You know, we focus on things like antibody levels or you know, breakdowns of different proteins in their blood and how they respond or whatever it may be. But what about taking a step back and taking a look at the health and the vitamin of the patient? That's something I'm interested to see more studies on.
Yeah. So we can do a deeper dive on other things related to vitamin D at some point, if you like.
Absolutely.
We can also talk about taurine and L-theanine at some point, and we can talk about mold in coffee, which I think is a big problem with regard to all of the things we talked about today.
Wow. This was a really surprising and eye-opening episode, Dr. Coffey. Thank you very much for this exploration today.
My pleasure. Have a wonderful day. Don't forget that if you're listening to this and it's time to set your clock back, that you 1 hour less of drinking coffee.
Yeah, I think at the time this drops, you've been suffering that for a week. So we appreciate you, Dr. Coffey. We appreciate you, listeners. Stay tuned. This is Dr. Coffey and Jordan River signing off, saying have an extraordinary day. We'll see you next time on the CHSP.